Happy Turducken Day, you beautiful, beautiful people. It's Wes Gardner. It's Marco Flores. It's Brethren Around, the turkey holiday pilgrim. What are we going to call this?
Pilgrim.
They're pilgrims. They're in Thanksgiving. They're pilgrims.
Oh, man. Pilgrims versus Indians? Survivor yeah, man,
book,
Series?
That's, book this. Sure. Survivor Series. 5-on-5. We got pilgrims versus Indians. Special guest referee is the gobbledygooker. God, that's the shittiest gimmick. And there's been bad gimmicks in wrestling, yeah. By the way. But gobbledygooker. For those that don't know, this was WWF, 1993 or 4?
Yeah.
Back before the name changed, it's still WWF. So the gobbledygooker is exactly what you think it is. It's just some fucking guy dressed like a turkey.
Yeah.
And big turkey, too. Like, it's not a small little, like, a tight outfit that he can wrestle in. Like, no, this is one of those big novelty. Like, you'd see those novelty-sized bananas. Those banana outfits.
Yeah, right.
It is. It's like, it can't fit through a door. Like, there's no reason to own this costume. But somehow, WWF had it.
Yeah.
This is during the time.
So I saw a post on one of the wrestling Facebook pages that I follow. And I think it said, we nearly went with for a whole year without mentioning the name without the mention of Gooker, and I read that post and I'm like, if wrestling was out of the picture, that can be borderline racist. But it is a wrestling post, so okay.
So it's in the realm, but not else, like pro yeah. wrestling's not the most racist thing that's ever existed anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But gobbledygooker is also like Tiger Mask, where the mantle is passed down.
Oh, God. Do you know who needs to be the new gobbledygooker?
Unwillingly. Yeah, who would it be?
James Ellsworth.
James Ellsworth.
He gets christened. He gets blessed.
Yeah, man. If they run an angle where he loses his contract and he needs to sneak back in.
Oh, that's genius. He comes back in. It's like, oh, the kids are so happy to see gobbledygooker. And then AJ Styles is in the ring. And then the gobbledygooker, like, super kicks him.
And he challenges the gobbledygooker to a world title match.
He's like, listen here, turkey.
Yeah.
He just has to open it with that. Just terrible puns all the way through.
Listen here, jive, turkey.
Jive, turkey. Oh, man. So I wanted to open this episode by saying that Brittany and I watched a Netflix special before we recorded. And it was a David Blaine magic special.
This will be delving into your week, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Like, as of an hour and a half ago. So, we watched a David Blaine magic special.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he's just, like, possessed by Satan. Like, I'm pretty convinced. Like, you'd have to show me evidence on the contrary. Because that guy is the real McCoy. And, like, he's one of those guys, because you know how Chris Angel and David Blaine kind of got made fun of on the internet for a while, and you're like,
right.
These guys might be kind of the shtick, just sort of, like, a little hammy. But this motherfucker was pulling out Street Hustle. Like, he was doing the three-card Monty. He was doing, like, old carny tricks. And I was like, oh, man, I got this all new respect for David Blaine now, because he's running real hustle. Like, he's like, give me a $100 bill. Or no, he gave these kids had a $1 bill, and he's like, let me tell you what, I'm going to turn this to a $100 bill, and then you got to share it with your friends. And the kid's like, oh, you're full of crap. And then Dave Blaine, like, closes this kid's hand around it, and he blows, and it's a $100 bill, and they freak out and run away.
Yeah.
They just run away. They're like, holy shit, and they leave.
Dude, did you see the, speaking of David Blaine, there was a special that was just aired on, like, either ABC or NBC. It was one of those. Networks. It was like a David Blaine, like, he's showing all these celebrities his baggage.
That's it. That's the one we saw.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Dude, it's
I was watching that too.
The card tricks.
He's
man.
Like, let me and they were on a rooftop. I was like, let me see your phone. So the guy gives his phone. He throws it from off of a roof. The guy's freaking out. And then David Blaine's like, well, like, how important is that phone to you? I think the kid was like, if we weren't on TV, man, I would have laid some hands on you right now. So, and then, you know how David Blaine is. He just says, oh, well, you know, look at that bag. And then, yeah, the phone's right there and they're freaking out. And it's like, but wait, you just threw the phone out there. And yeah, this is a crazy match trick. I think the basis of that hour special was like catching the bullet in the cup.
Oh, yeah. So this may have been a different one then.
It's a total different one. It was like the most recent, like maybe like Monday.
Oh, wow.
Might have aired, I think they aired it. Yeah.
Huh.
Bullet in a cup. Regurgitating live.
Like, oh, yep.
Frogs out of his stomach. And I think the first part of it was like a bunch of card tricks.
Those card tricks, man. That's like,
yeah, those are crazy.
That's just genuine old school. Like, that's the stuff if I were ever getting a magic, I would probably just do card tricks, like nothing else.
You'd be a magical gambit.
I would be magical gambit, and I would pull out stuff. I'd do the what they call it, the
listen, mon ami.
Yeah, the Swanee deck or the Swahili deck or whatever it is. I was gonna say the Benghazi deck, but that's a completely different.
Damn.
Follow the money. Sheeple.
Now you see me.
That's right. But yeah, man. Then I thought about it, and of course, everything in my life I always tie back to professional wrestling. So I was like, you know, these old card tricks and like street hustle, it's basically just a work. It's all, you're just working the crowd.
Yeah.
Totally. You know, you're getting people to pay attention to the wrong thing at the wrong time, and you're making money.
You're giving them like tense moments.
Yeah, you're building. Crazy. It'd be crazy if that card showed up in your pocket, huh? And then they have that moment. They're like, oh my God, what did he do? Right. And then they reach in their pocket and then they freak out. So you get the payoff.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I get it. So the other like pro wrestling thing, well, there's like two more things. The other pro wrestling thing is there's a new service out by ProWrestlingTees.com. And this is, I promise you, this is not sponsored. I will shill them if they give me free ones.
Although we would
ones.
Love to be sponsored.
I mean, if anyone were to sponsor us, Pro Wrestling Tees would be mwah, just magnifique, just the most realistic snow. No,
I was wondering where you're going with that.
You're like, wait a minute. Did he just call back to three episodes ago? So that's the continuity for you kids out there.
Right. That's more.
But yeah, Pro Wrestling Tees, they make a service called Pro Wrestling Crate. It works the same way that like Lootbox or what are the other ones?
Loot Crate.
Yeah, Loot Crate.
There's a bunch. Loot Crate is the most famous one, I think.
Yeah, Loot Crate's the one that kind of everyone knows about. So it's in that same regard. They send you a box, you don't know what's in it, and it has a theme every month. So the theme for this month, or November, was wrestlers who share the same name. So I was like, okay, I wonder where they're going with this. And I made the joke with one of my buddies. I was like, okay, how much do you want to bet it's going to be nothing but Horace Hogan? Like, you're right. Horace Hogan, the fucking guy from NWO that nobody knows.
For the forgotten Hogan.
He was. He tagged for, I think, 20 minutes with Hogan in the late 80s because he had the same dumb haircut and he was a blonde guy and he was kind of overweight. So they said he was muscular, but he really wasn't. He's also the guy, if you go look at old NWO footage, that's always wearing sunglasses and he has the black bandana on. That's not Hulk Hogan. It's the other one. It's the other guy. That's Horace Hogan. I was like, am I going to get a fucking Horace Hogan t-shirt? And I didn't know if I was going to be super mad or excited. Right? Can you imagine someone walking around with a Horace Hogan t-shirt?
That's literally the worst.
Either that's that, like, or the best. I was on the fence. I was like, this would be the best ironic shirt I could possibly
for sure
own.
I'm already on one side. That's literally the worst.
You're lying in the sand.
I'm already judging.
Okay, so that's what I was worried about. Right. So I open it. I open this thing, right?
And what'd you get?
Well, the first thing was a shirt. I didn't recognize what it was. So it's basically almost like a peace sign, but it's made out of old anchor rope. And it says the hero of Cleveland, or the king of Cleveland, the real shebang. It has all these cool logos, and it's a good-looking shirt. And I was like, JG. Who's JG? JG, JG. And I look at it. It's Johnny Gargano.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
It was all the Johns. Johnny Russell. So that's right. So you'll be stoked about this. Each crate comes with an autographed 8x10. Like an actual autograph, not one of those photocopy things. Dude, I got a Johnny Mundo Lucha Underground autographed picture.
Okay, that's awesome.
Freaking Johnny Nitro, man. Yeah. So, got that. Got a Big John Stud sweat towel.
Oh, there you go.
A little piece of Flair, like a little pin, because I wear name badges at work. And I already have some Flair from like that's sponsored by the school and stuff, but it's a piece of Flair that says Johnny Wrestling. Okay. So Johnny Gargano's like indie nickname was Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I got a what else did I? Oh, I got a beanie. I got a beanie, a big bright red beanie, and I don't know how this is a John, but it's basically Cactus Jack dressed up as Santa Claus, and it says Jolly Old Saint Mick. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a good beanie. Cool. And I'm like, you know what, man? This is a good box. This is a good box.
That's cool.
Now here's
that's a decent box.
Yeah, that's decent. Now here's the thing. Next month, for December, it's your favorite stable. And it shows the click hand sign.
Okay.
So like Wolfpack, NWO,
Bullet
Too
Club.
Sweet type stuff. So yeah, you got Bullet Club, you got like Fabulous Freebirds, you got Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
You got John what was Pauly Dangerously's? You know, Paul Heyman's old guys.
Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah, Dangerous Alliance. You got, you know, of course the Four Horsewomen. Of course I would love to get one for the Bullet Club that says something about brothering. Like how sick would that be?
But that's literally where our title came from.
That's legit, like Carl Anderson and you know Luke Gallows.
Luke Gallows, that's literally brothering.
They are brother scale. On the they are epitome of brother scale. but yeah, man, it's a decent box, and I signed up for a 3-month deal because I was like, okay, you know, I need some extra workout shirts and like wrestling shirts. I don't mind working out in, and I just hope they're not overly apparent, like because I like more subtle geek clothing. I like, it's almost like a wink and a nod. Like, you have to know what it is to know what it is.
Subtle.
So, instead of, like, a big picture of John Cena on a t-shirt or something, it's going to be, you know. But it doesn't even say Johnny Gargano anywhere on this shirt. It just has initials everywhere, and it says, like, Made in Cleveland, Ohio. So, you don't even know what it is. Like, this could be a clearance shirt at Old Navy, and no one would know the difference. Yeah. You know.
Okay.
So that's it's cool. It's good. It's good quality and it's good times.
There's a crate I wanna get into called the specific one I wanna get into is called a Lucha Crate.
Ooh.
Basically there's a level called Mini Lucha Crate, and basically you just get like a mask a month.
Oh shit.
And you know me and my masks.
Dude, so, that'd be rad.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, right? So I would love to get into getting at least a mini Lucha Crate so I could just have like a mask a month or something like that.
Yeah, even get it just for like, 3-month stint, get 4 masks.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be totally wicked, man.
If I get it like
we could take some updated high res pictures.
There you go.
Make a pay per view shirt for us. That's good times.
Yeah, totally. You done anything else for the week?
Not too much, just working and
watch anything, play anything.
So did get to watch a few things, of course, wrestling related. So I watched Global Wars UK 2016. We kind of mentioned it at the very tail end of last week's episode that I had it and I was going to watch it, but I hadn't watched it yet. So basically, this was the New Japan Pro Wrestling Ring of Honor Super Show that happened in England. And it had some pretty good matches. You had like Will Ospreay versus Jushin Thunder Liger. let's see, Chris Hero versus Ishii for night one, which, God, man, if you want to talk about brutal, like, I was expecting it to be pretty stiff, but there were a few of these shots that, like, that could have been a UFC fight. You know, that could have been like the straight Chris Hero. Chris Hero's nickname is the knockout artist. And there were a few of these things he was throwing, and Ishii just took them, like, stood there, didn't flinch. And these were hard, that even the crowd at a certain point wasn't going, ooh, ah, it was like cringing. It was like, oh, just like gross, right? They're hitting each other so hard, and neither one is selling it. And you're like, these guys are just animals. Like, I'm talking, imagine the most hardcore, like Ric Flair chest slap.
Yeah.
Where it makes that like echo crack across the arena for 25 minutes.
The tip end of that scale for me is Shibata versus Ishii. Do you think it outplays that match by leagues, or like it matches up pretty evenly?
I would say even. It's it's a little different because, you know, and the thing that's so crazy about Shibata is just looking at him, you wouldn't expect him to have that kind of fight. You know what I mean? Like, with Shibata, he hits so hard, you think someone needs to go in there and tell them that this is a work.
Yeah.
Like, someone needs to remind him that, guess, you know, wrestling's fake, right? Like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to seriously, like, penalty kick someone across the face. Like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's the type of bumps he takes. But he takes them, too. He gives them out, but he takes them.
Totally. That's why I'm a fan of him.
Dude, Shibata's the real deal. And, like, I will say, my favorite match out of the whole card, I want to say each night had 7 or 8 matches. The whole card's great. You could watch that. I seriously watched the whole pay-per-view in one sitting, and I loved it. There was not a bad match. You'll be entertained the entire time. Like, well, that was just a great show. My favorite match came on the second day. I think it's like part one of the second day. Was a guy named Seven, who I guess I haven't kept up with a lot of Ring of Honor or Revolution Pro Wrestling or anything like that. So Seven is a guy who's a part of called like the Mustache Mountain or something.
What?
Yeah, so they have like, it's almost like they're the vaudevillains a little bit. So they're these dapper gentlemen that have the big curly beards. They have their hair slicked back, but they're hipsters. Like, they come out and they come out to like the White Stripes is their theme music. So, you know, they have that kind of like, raconteur sort of provocateur style. Basically, what you think of a hipster with a slick back, oiled hair, the big, well-maintained beard. That's what they are. And they have their t-shirts that have big beards on them. And they're Mustache Mountain. And, you know, they're dapper gentlemen, but they do strong style. They do what's called British strong style, which imagine a mix between like, William Regal and like, I would say Finley is a good example. So they work stiff, like real stiff. But it was Seven versus Yuji Nagata. Old boy Yuji Nagata is there. You're talking, this guy was famous in the early 80s. I mean, he's been popular forever. He's like, he's a crown jewel of professional wrestling. Like, he is in the same league as like Ric Flair. You know, without question. And this whole match was started off silly. So everyone just loved the fact that Yuji Nagata was there and Seven was there, and they were doing, and you know, Yuji Nagata was putting over Seven spots and stuff, and like, oh, here, old chap, type of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it started turning in to a strong style match. But the turning point was there was a spot on the outside of the ring where Seven was doing chest slaps to Nagata, the Ric Flair style, woo, woo, that type of stuff. And he's swinging hard. Like, Seven's doing the full wound up and just cracking into him, right? Well, Yuji Nagata moves for one of them, and he cracks the shit out of his hand on the turnbuckle. Like,
Okay.
And there's, and it makes the same sound. So it makes the same slap that a Ric Flair, ouch, like, woo. Yeah. So everyone in the crowd's like, oh my God. Like, he broke his hand.
Broke
like
his hand.
You can't do that and not break your hand.
You can't.
I've never seen anything like that. And, you know, I've seen that crazy ECW, CZW shit, but, like, that is the one thing I think I've seen in a pro wrestling match that made me, like, flinch. And so he does it, and then Yuji Nagata, so smart, he starts working the hand.
Yeah.
So the whole rest of the match, he's doing arm drags and then catching his wrist and doing wrist locks and, like, pressure points on the hand. But he's, like, doing them in such a maneuver that it reminds me of the old school, like, the old Gotch, like, back in the day, mm-hmm, like, Vern Gagne, that type of stuff, mm-hmm, to where it's old school carny style wrestling, to where he's, like, putting his elbow down and then he's fulcruming it and then he's, like, retching his wrist a certain way and then peeling back his fingers. They work this hand for like 15 minutes. It's a full on beautiful wrestling match that deals with one part of the body.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that shit in forever, man. Like, it's amazing how well that still works. You know, we're so used to table spots and, you know, 450 splash,
high spots, flipping and all that
and
stuff.
Like, and not to take anything away from, like, the Ricochets and, you know, Will Ospreay and that type of stuff. But, like, the fact that they could do a 25-minute match working a hand, like, those are pros right there. Like, those are the guys that I'm just stoked to see that type of wrestling still happening. That's what we were brought up on. Yeah, that's what we were brought up on. And it takes confidence to do that.
Focus on a body part and,
you got to work it. And it's the same thing. Like, Bret the Hitman Hart was great at it because he would always work the leg and the hamstring. Mm-hmm. And then he would do the sharpshooter. Yep. So it made sense that people would tap. You build up to it. You build up to these moments. But yeah, man, that hand shot, oh, I still, like, flinch thinking about it because he didn't pull it. He didn't, like, baby it or nothing. He full on just smacked the shit out of this metal pole. And,
oh, man.
Oh, but the whole crowd, yeah, it was just the, there was some hard hitting stuff there. Like, I know we talk about basically whenever, you know, Shinsuke is at the top of his game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was a whole night of that, you know.
Nice. Okay.
Just get ready for those shots where, you know, and, like, there are certain wrestlers that do certain moves really well. Like, I'm not the biggest Usos fan, but God, they have some pretty super kicks.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they catch those things. Alberto Del Rio is the same way. He had a great super kick. Like, he would hit that slap every single time. Every time. From anywhere. Like, any position, any angle. So I always love those simple moves that are done perfectly. And Revolution Pro, that Global Wars UK 2016, that two nights of it. Two nights of these people, top of the heap, best of the best, sort of just making things happen. But the doozy I wanted to talk to you about with wrestling is Survivor Series. We had ourselves a Haas off with Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
Where we predicted that Brock Lesnar would win hands down.
Would go over. Just totally decimate him and all this stuff. So I going in, I was expecting they're going to do the standard 12-minute. You know, Goldberg will get his stuff in, but then it'll be kind of what he did to John Cena and Randy Orton, where Brock Lesnar just kind of overwhelms and then, you know, goes in and then does his faces to the camera and then Paul Heyman claps in the background. And I was expecting a Brock Lesnar match, basically. a minute and 45 seconds. It was Brock Lesnar picks up Goldberg, tries to put him into the side, like into the corner. Goldberg doesn't like go down to a knee or anything. Pushes Brock Lesnar, like chest slaps Brock Lesnar and pushes him down to the canvas. Just like almost like a schoolyard bully comes over and just pushes you. So Brock Lesnar fucking falls over. And this is not a work because you saw how hard Goldberg pushed him. So Brock Lesnar falls off his feet and he's laughing. And he's like, holy shit, this guy's real. So then Brock Lesnar stands up and Goldberg hits the best spear I've ever seen him hit in his entire career. It was a football tackle. He just full-on linebacker tackles Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar sells it, rolls around, gets up. There's another spear. So he spears him again. Doesn't hit him as clean this time, but still a pretty good one. Picks Brock Lesnar up, does a jackhammer, pins him 1, 2, 3. Brock Lesnar did a squash match.
Yeah. Like,
it was a squash match. And out of anyone in the world to okay a squash match, it was Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was laughing at the TV. I was pretty much just as amazed at that moment as whenever Lesnar broke Taker's streak.
Yeah.
I was like, they have a lot of balls to be doing this. But it works. Because what better way are you going to sell Goldberg?
Yeah.
Like, he mows over people.
So from what I understand is the back news of it is that Goldberg signed a new deal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to go for another match, either another match or matches leading up to WrestleMania.
Yeah,
because that's why he announced that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble, and then I think Lesnar is going to be in the Rumble too. So I guess from what Brock Lesnar was saying is ever since he heard about the new deal, then like he saw like, oh yeah, we can make more money. So he's pretty sure that you're going to see like a Lesnar Goldberg match three down the line, most likely in WrestleMania.
Oh, I would imagine so. And that'll be Bill's, that'll be Goldberg's retirement match for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And that's whenever Brock will go over. So here's betting odds. They're both going to be in the Royal Rumble, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to eliminate Brock Lesnar. I don't think it'll be Goldberg. Like, probably Roman Reigns, because why not? But then Brock Lesnar is going to cost Goldberg the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, like, I can see that.
He's going to pull him out. He's going to do something. He's going to do something, carry him over, something. So he's going to screw over Goldberg. Goldberg's going to be pissed. And he's going to say, like, you cost me my chance at a belt. I'm going to kick your ass. And then that's how they get their WrestleMania match. Neither one has to be a belt holder. You know, they pay, basically payback for screwing them over at the Rumble.
Yeah.
But we were way wrong the first time. So who knows?
Right.
I think now they're just booking things in such a way just to fuck with people.
Sure. Hey, no, why not? Right.
Cause
me and you had that sudden, like, we just knew the expectation was, oh no, Brock's going to win. So when you swerve people like that like, sure. Like, it's funny that people are getting mad that, Goldberg went over on Brock because people are expecting like, oh, Brock's going to, like, they're tired of this match before he even started.
Yeah.
You know, just disregarding it, and then like this happens, and like it's fun. I think it's funny. I was like, you know what? Sure, do it. Keep doing more of that.
Yes. Oh God, please.
Any way possible, just to throw people off and piss them off, and have them complain on Facebook and wherever, whatever forums. Like, I just enjoy the ride. I don't even bother like just trying to input on how booking should be. Just whatever. Yeah. Just watch and enjoy.
And I think it's great because do you think that so the internet, and you know, everyone will talk about, oh, the day the industry died was the curtain call and the click broke kayfabe and all this other stuff. Do you think that the people on Facebook and the people that okay, so basically the people that are getting pissed, are they the new Marx? Like, has the industry changed so much that, like, of course WWE's still ahead of the curve, of course pro wrestling's still ahead of what expectations are, so they know they're gonna fuck with the Marx by doing this, so that's why they do it.
I think it's more of the smarks, the quote unquote smart people, the smart marks.
Yeah,
that think they know what's going. They think they know what's going to happen or know what to expect. Then like pull the rug from underneath them.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like they're because you can rile them up. You can get them mad as much as you want. They're still going to pay and watch.
Sure,
your product. Just to see if they're right or just see if it changes. And if not, then I'm just going to complain. And then I'll watch it. Then, you know, the next Raw or next SmackDown and still complain about it. And like you have them hook, line, and sinker, even though like,
yes,
they're smart marks or sort of say.
Yeah. Jim Cornette was always that way. He was like, those are my favorite people to mess with because they would always say the same thing. I'm not buying another fucking pay-per-view until the next one.
Right.
So you got them.
You literally got them. Like there's no challenge there to try to win them over because they're always going to go to the WrestleManias. They're always going to go to. They have the money, no matter what social or like economic like status you're at. They're going to fork the money.
Yeah.
Either complain or. Or cry their eyes out because their dream booking came true or something.
Yeah, right. And I think, and it's funny because I'm glad you and I get to kind of talk shop about wrestling because we've always talked about it kind of behind the scenes, but we never had a place to really discuss it. I think both of us now are in a better place in regards to we just like watching the wrestlers work. You know, we just like watching the wrestlers perform. We don't necessarily care about any of the actual whatever story or gimmick they're trying to sell. We like the fact that they hit good super kicks. We like the fact that they can tell a story by working a wrist lock. We like that more so like, okay, these guys are so good that they don't have to do all these crazy flips, or these guys are so good because they can do crazy flips. Like, look at the variety that we have now. You know, when I watched NXT TakeOver Toronto or whatever it was, that Asuka Mickie James fight was the best fight of the evening. Like, best match. Okay. Best match of that whole pay-per-view.
I was hearing that the tag team match told the best story.
Oh yes, that's very true. Which is totally I was double amped whenever I got the Johnny Gargano t-shirts and stuff. And I was like, oh, homie just won an NXT title. This is like perfect.
Right, there you go.
Perfect timing.
There you go. Timing.
So it's really cool to see that stuff. And I mean, yeah, it definitely told, but I'll tell you what, you know, I'm really happy that DIY, you know, what is his name? Ciampa and
Ciampa.
Yeah, Ciampa and then Gargano. I'm glad they won because it's a long time coming. But the Revival are so fucking good. Like,
yeah, man, they're good. They're good at their job.
They're
good at their job.
Do you know what it reminds me of? If you had two Arn Andersons.
Yeah, I was gonna say they remind me of the Brainbusters.
But they know how to work it so well. They actually, there was a part during their match. It was a tag that really happened. DIY actually tagged in. How'd they set it up? It was one of those things that it took like 5 minutes to set up the one spot, but they did it so perfectly that you didn't know it was leading up to something. And basically all it was a quote unquote, the ref thought it was a false tag. Like, no, get out of the ring. You weren't tagged in, even though technically he was. The buildup for that, you could hear the air
tagged in.
Yeah, you could hear the air getting sucked out of the audience's sails because they saw the tag. Everyone knew the tag happened. The ref didn't see it. Legit, he did not. So then, but that's how they played it so perfectly. is,
and that's where they got him.
Yeah, and they, I mean, the Revival is are so good at tag team wrestling. It's, I think they may be the best tag team on earth, and like, just because they know how to do the mind game shit like that, but it's on such a good level that you don't notice it until you go back and rewatch it, and you're like, ah. So that's the positioning they had. So that they cut the ring in half. They did all, you know, you go back and you look at it and they build towards a hot tag because that's kind of what every tag team match is forever, is you build for the babyface to get the hot tag. But then they made the hot tag and the ref didn't see it. So then it like took the air out of the sails, right? And you're like, oh shit, totally, these guys are geniuses.
Totally.
It's good, man. Like, but wrestling's, I will always say this. People talk about Attitude Era and stuff, and yeah, that's fine. But wrestling is the best it's ever been right now.
Right now. Yeah, totally.
Because there are smarter workers in the ring. The audience is more privy to what's actually going on. People on the internet are actually appreciating the performance of it because they understand that this is a job and it's a work, and I'm going to buy the t-shirt because I actually like this guy. I think wrestling's in a better spot than it's ever been in. It's more of a niche market, so not as many people watch it, but I think that's actually good because at that point you can kind of preach to the choir. You don't have to try to
really
get
appreciative.
Yes, yeah. So the people that are there are, they really want to be there. Like, because who's gonna buy tickets to an Adele concert if you don't like Adele?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Adele knows that the people at her concert kind of like her music. Or else they wouldn't fucking be there. So she can work towards those people. There was this weird time in the early 2000s to where wrestlers were trying to work to people that weren't in the audience. Like, let's try to get new eyes on our product. And then it wasn't really fulfilling to anybody. Like, it wasn't good for the performers. It was a really weird time.
You needed good combinations. The 80s like rock and wrestling, and then like the 90s with the Attitude Era. Like, you needed a lightning in a bottle combination that would get more eyes on the product. But when you don't have it, it becomes like what it is now, which is, it's just fine. Everybody's appreciative of the product, but not everybody's watching it because, you know, stigma is like, oh, it's fake or it's steroid abuse, yada yada yada.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Because I mean, you look at all these different, people will still consider this the PG era, but it's weird. I think it's already made the shift, but I consider it the NXT era. Because,
it was like 3-4 years ago, I would say
the PG era.
But now that you see like, I mean, hell, and Enzo was quote unquote naked on Raw yesterday. So what else? And then like you have stuff like Lucha Underground happening, I think we're like a year or two over the PG era at the moment. It's just you just don't hear a lot of the swearing, and you don't see the sex appeal as a parent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? I mean, because it's about the in-ring work now. It's about doing the fundamentals better. It's about, you know, sticking to your guns and actually putting on a good show. And so it's going back to the basics. So that's why I think wrestling's in a better spot now, is because here you have, no matter what wrestling show you go to, the style will be pretty similar. But it's because everybody's figuring out what the new style is. Everybody, if you go to a Ring of Honor show, it's going to be a lot like a Revolution Pro. It's going to be a lot like Evolve. It's going to be a lot like Chikara. It's going to be a lot like NXT. Yeah. Like, they're all very similar in style. But I think that's a good thing, is because once they master that, then it can branch out more. I think that's why it was so mind-blowing for people to see Ricochet versus Will Ospreay. Is because here are two guys doing something that's not the hot tag, that's not the... You know, they're trying to reinvent this wheel, and for some people it worked, and some people it didn't. Some people hate all the flippy shit. Hey, if they do a move, let me know. Or on the other end of the spectrum, it's like, look at these athletes. These guys are like best in the world.
I mean,
so there's something for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Vader took, not took it, what took advantage of it, but like he saw it as an opportunity to make an online feud with Will Ospreay. Like, you know, they're talking crap about each other. Will Ospreay is wearing Vader's mask, and then they finally had their match, and like the crowd was like red hot, red white hot
Oh yeah.
in that city. I don't know where they had it. I think it was like in the UK, but everybody was booing the crap out of Vader. You were kind of seeing like how the 90s was, where you could just throw trash and batteries at people, at wrestlers. So, and I think there was one gif where Vader was walking down the aisle or the ramp, and then there's stairs going towards the ring. He was doing like going down the steps as like an old man. And so people were just getting pissed, like, what the hell is this old man doing? He's talking
That's
shit
so
about Will
good.
Ospreay. And then the match happens and Vader wins, and people are heated. Like, I can't believe Will decided to just, let Vader go over. And but they made so much money that night.
Oh God,
And
yeah.
that's what it's about. It's just making those opportunities
Yep.
and seeing where you can make that money. Dude, yeah, like, dude, like if it wasn't for Twitter and like the internet, just to see that Ricochet and Will Ospreay match, like Vader wouldn't have gotten like a big ass payout
That's true.
as he did. And I mean, man, I mean, good eye on Vader and Ospreay to make that kind of business with each
Oh
other.
yeah, for sure. And that's the deal, is
Yeah.
all the people, and like Jim Cornette, he's one of those guys that he always talks shit on the Young Bucks. And then the Young Bucks always talk shit on Jim Cornette. I'm
Yep.
convinced it's all a work. I'm 100% sure. The same way the whole Vader Will Ospreay stuff was a work.
Yeah.
But people buy into it. People get like, you don't know what you're talking about, Jim Cornette, the Young Bucks, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if this is the default stance you have to have, if it is for public consumption and a professional wrestler is doing it, it's a fucking work. Period. Like,
Yeah.
live your life by that code and you'll be A-okay.
Yeah.
But people fall for that shit. And like, you see what Kevin Owens says to people on Twitter. And
Kevin Owens and Jim Cornette and Vince Russo, same thing, same
yeah,
situation.
it's a work. Like, people need to realize it's all fake.
Yeah.
Like, it's all ugh. But building up and getting people so invested, yeah, that like so invested that as Vader walks downstairs, people scream. Like,
Yeah. You
genius.
fucking old man, what are you doing?
Yeah. So good. Like, the fact that, and that just shows what a master Vader is, right?
Yeah,
Because
totally.
who else could get that hot just walking?
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Right?
Like, that's real heat right there, man.
Yeah.
That's like molten lava heat.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, people are too scared to get that anymore. Like, I'm happy that Kevin Owens, but the thing is, Kevin Owens is too funny. Like, it makes him kind of the Stone Cold character, which is fine. I mean, it'd be cool to have another one, but it's almost, we need someone who's genuinely not afraid to get mega heat. And
I
like
mean,
Chris
that's yeah,
Jericho's
that's go ahead.
like, oh, Chris Jericho's really good at it, but once again, like, he gets the scarf over, he gets the list over, he has these things he can get over, which shows how good he is. But like, okay, a team that got nuclear heat was the Dudley Boys in ECW. Oh my God, they would get people so mad at them that the Philadelphia crowd after ECW shows would like egg their car and like slash their tires. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is some heat, man. Like, they are a furnace. So we need a few of those. And I don't think there exists really anybody right now that's not afraid to really like, because a perfect example is whenever Kevin Nash and Scott Hall came to WCW, there was a sit down interview. Like I was listening to a bunch of, cause I love that whole invader angle, the outsiders. Like, I think there's a lot of cool stuff to that. And I think we're going to see something like that again soon. I don't know from where or who or why, but I think that's going to come back. But there's an interview where whenever they first signed on to WCW and started planning the outsiders angle, that the marketing department came up to Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and were like, oh, we're going to design your t-shirts.
Yeah.
And they're like, what fucking t-shirts? Like, no, don't make a product. No one needs to know that we're actually, working for WCW.
The angle is we still need to look like we're working. We're still working for the WWE.
Yeah.
And that's what made,
Yeah, and they're like, don't make anything. Don't make an action figure. Don't do anything. Like, it's just we go and we disrupt the show. And then what was so smart about Kevin Nash is whenever they did make shirts, he was like, no, 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 don't sell them in the shop. Give them to us. We'll sell them in the parking lot.
Yep.
To people directly. So they don't have to come in and have the ticket and stuff. We'll sell them to people that don't even have tickets to the show. But like, here, we're selling our quote unquote, you know, makeshift shirts that we like hand printed, even though they didn't. But they sold it that way. They were out there like, oh, fuck all those guys. Here, buy our shirts from us in a parking lot out of a car garage or like, you know.
Exactly.
So, and it was genius, like so smart to do that. Like, that's what we need, though, is we need another group to be able to just get nuclear heat.
Yeah, that's kind of the downfall or the downside of what this era is, or whatever this era is called or whatever. Mm-hmm. People are smart and want to appreciate the good work and stuff, but it's becoming a trend that these smart people are rooting for the quote unquote bad guy just because it's the cool thing to do rather than. Because I hear these complaints a lot, usually in terms of, because I listen to Keeping It 100 with Conan and Disco Inferno and who was it? Juventud Guerrera. That's the one thing they kind of complain about is that when people are trying to tell stories, sometimes the audience can have that tendency to take that away from whoever's working. So like the example of like Roman Reigns trying to like being the baby face, it may be that he can't, he only does like five moves or whatever, but on his basis, he's supposed to be like the good guy. Mm-hmm. But whatever city he may be in, the crowd can take that away. It's like, oh man, boo this guy because we don't like him. He's because it's funny that he was the chosen one. Won Royal Rumble, and then the very next year when they decided to give him a push, then they turned his back on him because now it's being forced
right
we're supposed to like Roman Reigns, but like, but you guys were just cheering for him when he was having a good streak of eliminating people the previous year, so what's the difference there other than the fact that company is pushing Roman Reigns now? I agree with what they say, but at the same time, that's what comes with spawning up a crowd.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I mean, and that, yeah, it's a change of dynamic. And hell, freaking Roman Reigns got a huge pop during Survivor Series whenever they reunited the Shield.
Yeah, like, when they reunited the Shield, yeah.
He got a huge pop, and all he did was go, ooh, and did a powerbomb.
Yeah.
And then people loved him again. And I was like, really? That's all it took? It was just fucking powerbomb through a table? Turn you assholes. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But what's working out pretty well for me is like, because I didn't watch Raw and I didn't watch SmackDown happen tonight. I didn't watch it. I'm doing okay not watching any of the actual weekly shows and then just watching the pay-per-views. Just watching, because they're going to do the little 3-minute wrap-up video anyway. Before the little preliminary video to open up the match. And like, I did fine. I watched Survivor Series. I understood what was going on. Like, yeah, I'm cool. I'll watch the guys do the big money shows on the WWE network. That's fine. You know, and even since Hideo Itami's out, like, I haven't been watching NXT, but Yeah, out of all of the regular programming, NXT is probably the one I would keep up with. But I'm just getting more interested because I keep up with that stuff now the same way I keep up with New Japan. I just watch the pay-per-views because I don't want to lose any of the luster. Oh, I was going to tell you, though. I don't know why, but I've always appreciated Los Ingobernables or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've always liked him because Naito, we talked about him before, great heel. Just, oh, so good. He wears the hat all shitty. Like, oh, it's so good. He wears
it
like
throws a title belt whenever he has it. Like,
oh, yeah, just drags it on the floor. Like, so good. And then you got Evil there, who has the cool, like, eye shadow or something. Like, I don't know. But then, but someone I never gave enough credit, and I kind of liked him okay, and I saw a few matches. I was like, yeah, he's okay. But this Revolution Pro gave me a new appreciation for Bushi.
Okay.
Bushi, sick, man. Like,
yeah,
so good. He brings that Tajiri mist, that great Muda mist. He came out that first night. He was dressed. You would have dug his outfit. I need to find a picture of it. So he comes out in like a bank robber's clown mask.
Nice.
And
okay.
He's wearing a straight suit with like assassin leather gloves on. He looks like a character from Yakuza.
Yeah.
So he walks out and he has that. He doesn't have an earring. At first I thought he had his ears pierced, but it's actually two giant hoop rings on the side of his mask.
On the mask.
That are like right under his ear. I was like, oh, if I were to steal a single gimmick, if I were to just take a gimmick and make it my own, it would be Bushi's. Like him walking out with like the assassin gear. And I was like, oh shit, man, this is rad. I was like, yeah, I would wear this all the time forever.
But then
he got in the ring. And then I started seeing like little hints of, because, you know, I'm a big mark for Tajiri. I'm a big mark for, Tozawa. I'm a big mark for Itami. Like, I really do like the kick heavy Japanese mixed martial arts sort of, like, they can end a match with one strike from anywhere style stuff. And Bushi had that in spades. So I mean, he was doing stuff, just, he was like a stick of dynamite, you know. He would just hit out of nowhere. And I was like, man, I could get behind this. But I don't want to watch weekly New Japan Pro Wrestling because I don't want it to get old. Like, I don't want to know their tricks. I don't want to know, because see, even with Shinsuke being in NXT, that's starting to happen. As pretty as his rolling armbar is, I can tell when it's coming.
You're expecting it.
Yeah, I can tell when it's coming. Dude, but the first time I ever saw that rolling armbar, whenever he fought Kota Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom 9, I nearly shit myself. Beautiful. Yeah. It was perfect. It was off the second rope. He like hit the flip right. Oh my God, I lost it. So that's what I like. I like just being super surprised. And I think that's why the Revolution Pro pay-per-view works so well for me, is I don't really watch regular New Japan, and I don't watch any Ring of Honor. I should, but I just don't. And I don't know really anything for Revolution Pro besides, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. and Will Ospreay. And I would hear stuff about Marty Scurll, but I didn't know who that was. So I got to see him for the first time. So there's all these guys that I've heard stuff about, and there's some buzz, but I didn't know. But then I watched the whole thing, sit down, one sitting. It was rad, man. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to watch that once. I'm still on the same pay-per-view. I'm only able to watch at work. I don't tend to watch it when I'm home or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watch it at work. So like, I'm very slow on this pay-per-view because I'm still a pay-per-view behind New Japan. And I'm kind of the same way with New Japan stuff. I don't even think they have like a weekly TV show or anything. They just do house shows and then do pay-per-views and that's it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm pretty behind, but that's what I do too. Like, I just watch the pay-per-views and try to grasp what kind of story that they're trying to tell.
Yeah.
A lot of the times it's not, there's no English commentary unless Ring of Honor is on hand for that pay-per-view. Cause you have like Kevin Kelly and then I forgot the other guy's name, but, yeah. So they do English commentary for some of the New Japan Pro Wrestling, pay-per-views. And I think Access TV is Jim Ross and like a UFC fighter, but that's like they're commentating on matches like a year before. So it's not like it's not today that they're having this match. They're doing commentary on a match that happened like last year or something.
Gotcha.
So that's what they do on Access TV. But yeah, I'm the same way with New Japan. I still try to keep up with WWE, SmackDown, and Raw. But like, yeah, ever since I'm stuck on this New Japan pay-per-view. And like, ever since we started recommending stuff, like I'm trying to watch a lot of things. So like, it gets backed up.
Oh, right.
Now we have a backlog of watching anything and playing anything or reading anything. So
right.
Yeah. It comes with the territory when,
yeah, man.
When, like, say you do a podcast and say, like, you know, we're not to say that we're popular or anything, but like when people start recommending you to like read this, watch this, play this, then yeah, it gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, it really does.
Get around to it. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and big ups to everybody for sending us recommendations and stuff too. Like that's rad, super rad.
Yeah, totally.
Totally,
man.
Yeah. So my recommendation for everyone listening is for that, get that Revolution Pro. Even if you don't like pro wrestling, watch that stuff. You're going to be entertained.
Yeah, man.
Revolution Pro, man. The Global Wars UK 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to jump on that as soon as I can. But yeah, Thanksgiving, man. Thanksgiving is here.
I know.
What are you going to have?
We're going to be doing a little crock pot stuff. We're going to be going to some family's house, but we're going to get a big, basically a roast. We're just going to let it sit. We're going to leave early in the morning.
Okay.
We're going to travel, and then we're just going to let it sit and then eat it that night. And I think the secret to making good things like roast or ribs or you don't mess with it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to get the stuff and you put it in a bowl. And then you let it sit for 10 hours.
You don't touch it.
You don't stir it. You don't nothing. You just let magic happen. Forget you put it on. Set an alarm. Do whatever you got to do. But like, forget that it even exists. Because the big mistake I make, and this goes with stuff like turkeys, but even stuff like cooking burgers on a grill or like grilling chicken or whatever. People just poke shit. They just move it. They just... I'm gonna flip it. Don't flip it. Like, don't flip the burger. I know you want to.
Yeah.
Don't flip the burger. Just let the burger cook and then flip it one time after like 8 minutes and you're done.
And then that's it. Yep.
And then you let it cook for like 4 more minutes and you're done. You're done. It's fine. Like, but people what if I don't just get away from it? Like, I will shut. There's a reason why the lid on a grill shuts. Like, shut it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what are you having? So we're having roast. We're doing the corn. We're doing like carrots and onions and putting it all in and letting it sit for like 10 hours.
The day of Thanksgiving, I'll get some time and a half for that. And then usually like her side, since we live with her parents, is going to be at the house. So we'll have food. I'll have food by the time I get home. And then we're debating if we have enough time to go on my side. And then, yeah, just have food there. But usually it's just, yeah, Thanksgiving mix Asian food. Filipino.
Good.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not much of a turkey person unless it's fried turkey.
Ooh, yeah.
Because it's not dry and it's succulent and all that stuff. I usually go for like the ham and mashed potatoes and
So what are your thoughts what are your thoughts on stuffing?
I don't really care about it I don't really care about it whatsoever.
Just total apathetic.
I mean, if as long as it makes the turkey not dry, then that's cool. Then I'm okay with that.
Gotcha.
But if it does nothing to it, then whatever.
So I'll go for the ham. I'll ask you this. Is there a Thanksgiving or any real food as far as like a big family gathering? Is there a food that you hated as a kid that now you cannot get enough of? Like that, if it hit the table and you're like, you all better move out the way because I'm gonna dig into some. is there anything on the table that's like that for you? Like,
you know what? I don't think so, because I'm not gonna try anything that either I don't really care for, or I just did not like.
Gotcha.
Vegetables? I don't know.
Vegetables.
Sauteed vegetables, because you know, as a all kid, right, you don't want vegetables, but now
sure. Okay.
I'm eating vegetables every single day, every single meal. But
mine's related to that. Like, mine is green bean casserole. Now, growing up, no, you get that out of my face. It's sacrilege. What are you doing?
Yeah,
like all that. But now, man, a good green bean casserole. I could eat 6 pounds of that. Like you make a dish for me, and then you make the dish for everybody else.
There you go.
Because I don't know what it is about it. Yeah, I don't know what it is, because it all comes together, and there's like cheese in that shit. There's all sorts of stuff. Yeah. I don't even know. It's like a magic concoction of, I don't know.
I won't have live octopus.
Yeah, you won't. Live octopus won't happen. The homeless man won't give us money.
There you go. And
give us a cell phone.
I can't ask like, what's going on.
Hey, exactly. Yeah, don't tell me. Don't ask me. I don't know.
But yeah.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Okay, so everyone, you know, has kind of the Thanksgiving tradition stuff. So do you have like more Christmassy big meal things that you like? Like, is that where you really hit up like the ham? Or is that more of the Thanksgiving? Like, or is it any different, really? I mean, are there different things? Are there things you eat during a Christmas meal that you necessarily wouldn't for Thanksgiving or vice versa? Like,
I think Thanksgiving, the food that I usually get on Thanksgiving, I think it stays at Thanksgiving, and then you don't see it so much during Christmas.
Never the two shall meet.
Christmas. Yeah, never the two shall meet. Christmas tends to be like more like, oh, you know, fried rice and like pancit and like, yeah, more Asian style food than you'll see at a Thanksgiving. You'll see some on Thanksgiving, but not so much. We'll try to keep the America tradition of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so. Just a crying bald eagle is outside of your window all the time.
Exactly.
So
how about you guys?
I don't, because I mean, definitely like, okay, I would say like Thanksgiving is more a honey baked ham, and then like a Christmas is more of the brown sugar ham.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like you have more of the deeper sugars and like, oh, the cinnamony kind of. That's more the Christmas stuff, like the mint, that wintery holiday-ish stuff. And with Thanksgiving, it's all just heavy. It's like, oh, you want macaroni casserole, huh? Well, let me just fill it with mayonnaise. And you're like, oh, fuck. Like, you just, oh, you're coleslaw, huh? Let me just give more mayonnaise. I think, and you're like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm thinking now the one thing that's constant with Christmas and Thanksgiving is the drinking.
So what's your go-to on that? Like, do you have a specific?
Like my go-to? I'm actually not so much of a drinker, other than like socially, or actually more so like special events. Like, hey, you know, my brother is getting married or something. Like, I'll take a drink for that type of thing. I tend to go for like, I mean, usually Hennessy is around. I usually go for like a Hen and Coke.
Yeah.
And it's being Coke.
That's a strong choice. Lemon Coke. That's a man drink right there.
I guess so. And that's almost fairly recently, like the last 5 to 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
But you know, why not? I'm getting older. I need to.
You know, man, I'm a sucker for the girly drinks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, dude. Give me a mudslide. Like one of those big ass like cups with an umbrella in it. Like, why not, right? Because I mean,
fruity,
you have to think
umbrella drink. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you get some of those. They don't taste like alcohol, which is dangerous, by the way. Do not
shrink your balls or anything. It's
drink
fine.
Responsibly, all right? Like that shit will get you messed up. But like, I'll put it because I'm like you. I mean, we bought a six pack of bottle like vanilla porter. Because I was like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, I like, I'm a big fan of like cream based stuff, of like mm-hmm. kind of the vanilla y smooth sort of. I'm a big fan of that type of stuff with really food, drink, whatever. I just like the right. texture and the feeling of it. So mm-hmm. anything that's smooth, I like. So I wanted to get vanilla porter. So basically, it's a slightly thicker beer and then it has hints of vanilla and all that stuff. So I got it and it was good. It tasted like beer, mm-hmm. like, because I haven't developed my palate or whatever. So it all tastes like yeah. beer to me. It's all the same. So I got it and I got a 6-pack. I still have 3 of them in the fridge. I got 6-pack 9 months ago. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't drink. I just, but
yeah.
But if I'm somewhere, I'm kind of like you, if it's a social thing or whatever, or mm-hmm. if they had like mudslides, like, yes, yeah. oh, let's do it. Let's do that. Let's do like Irish coffee. Sure. Let's go mm-hmm. for it. You know, that type of stuff. Bailey's Irish cream. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Good times. But,
yeah,
and this is a complete riff. I don't know why I just thought about this, but it has to be a podcast story. It has to be one.
right.
So in college, I went to college way back in the day, before I actually graduated recently. I went to college in Oklahoma City. That's, long story short, that's kind of where No Quarter started. I lived in Oklahoma mm-hmm. City, all that stuff. So that's kind of where it all began. And my college roommate, my first college roommate, was a guy named Carlton. I know for a fact he's not listening, but hey, what's up, Carlton? but he had an affinity for Korean girls. That was his thing. That was his thing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I promise you this is going somewhere. So
yeah, sure, sure.
He had affinity. That was his thing. You know, the heart wants what it wants.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we had a little mini fridge in our dorm room and we had alcohol in it, of course, but he would buy mm-hmm. Natty Light, natural ice, like which is Natty Light is nicknamed, or it was Natty Light and Milwaukee's Best. Those are two of, like, they call it the beast because it's terrible. These beers are terrible. Okay. Even people that like shitty beer hate these beers.
Okay. Okay.
Right. I'm talking, you know, if you go to the store and you're like, yeah, I'm going to just pick up a whatever beer. I'll get a Budweiser. I'll get a Coors Light. I'll get Miller Light. I'll get whatever. Mm-hmm. This is, let's say, you've had a bad 8 years and you just wanted your brain to fry. Like, that's kind of what these drinks are.
This is your old boy beer.
This is it. If you want the mind fuck of shitty beers, Milwaukee's Best and Natty Light, that's what it is. So here's the kicker. These Korean girls would come over and they would drink all of it.
Okay.
But here's the thing. How do you imagine making something like Milwaukee's Best or Natty Ice worse? How could you possibly make it worse? Drinking it at room temperature.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I'm dude. They would get it out of the box. Not even the ones in the freaking ice box. They would get it out of the thing and drink that shit straight. I was like,
no way.
Oh. It scarred me. Like, I still remember this. This was 13 years ago. They would drink Natty Ice straight and they would do it room temp. You don't drink anything room temp, man. Not even like tap water.
Except for Korean girls, apparently.
Apparently, man. This is the shit.
Dude, whenever I was training with my martial arts team a few years back,
Oh my God, I think we lost Marco. I think we lost Mr. Marco Flores. We're still live though. See, this is what happens when we run live. This is the nice thing. I'm looking at the call stuff right now. It may have dropped. It may not have. But we're going to keep it going, man. We're going to keep it going. But I still can't believe it. Just Natty Ice. Through and through. Ugh. Ugh. Everyone out there needs to give us your beer recommendations. Or what's like the grossest beer stories that you may have? That's what we need to hear. We need to get some feedback from the audience in this one. So I wonder what happened with Marco's reception. It's hilarious to me because we use our little behind the scenes setup since we're going live. So our behind the scenes setup on this is hello.
Yeah, you're good. We're good.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. There he is. I was about to show behind the curtain. A little bit of Wizard of Oz shit. But now you'll never know how we make our show. You'll never know.
Right, there you go.
That's it. But I told basically everybody that they need to give us their nasty beer stories.
There you go. Sure.
So yeah, but okay, your martial arts instructor.
Oh, is that what it got cut off?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically just when we invited Koreans to our camp, they would often invite us to have a Korean water. And it don't even know why they call it Korean water, other than the fact that it's like dense in alcohol. And it surprised every single person that got invited to drink some of this Korean water. I have no idea what it is. I'm kind of curious now that I think about it. But when they invited me, I was like, oh, no, I'm okay. Thank you, though. But
yeah. No. So it's like Korean moonshine?
Maybe, like soju or something. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
My best story that's somehow better than the Carlton dating Korean girl story is in martial arts camp. It was one of those in Jacksonville, Florida. We had a partnership with our grandmaster was named Song Ki Pak, and he brought his students from South Korea over. And we went to like a camp, like we all did a big camp and we there for like 2 weeks. It was a lot of fun. But the second night we were there. So the first night was like an orientation and all that stuff. And then we would figure out what our bunk assignments were and all that. So the second set was the second night we were going swimming. So the first night we let's see, what was the order of this? Okay, so we go the first night and we take showers, right? Just to wash up at the end of the time and we take showers. So we're trying to say, because we know basically Taekwondo/Tong Soo Do version of Korean to where it's like, get in position, start your forms, chariot, kanye, you know, attention, bow, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So no actual conversational Korean whatsoever. Like we know like Komseomnida. Like, we know that's the most bare bones. So we have to motion to them what we're doing. Like, okay, it's time for the shower. Like, it's time to go to the shower. So we kind of motion, like, soap and, like, the water coming out. And, like, we're taking a shower. And they go, oh. So then they all, you know, got everything. They got their towels. They got their, like, hair caps and everything. And then we're like, okay, great. This is going to be awesome. So, you know, the next day comes around and we're about to go swimming. And, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to have open call for the pool for like 2.5 hours. Like, tell everyone that, you know, open pool, whoever wants the pool can have it.
Yeah.
So we go and we tell them, okay, guys, yeah, we're going swimming. We're going swimming. And then we leave and about 10 minutes pass and no one's coming out. So we're like, okay, well, let's go back up there. So they, as we're approaching back again, they're coming out of their lodge with their shower caps and their towels, like, to take a shower. And we're like, no. Like, we're like, no, we're swimming. Yeah. It's different. We're swimming. Come on. And then they see it and they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I just love those little, like, lost in translation moments. Like,
our signing
was probably terrible. They probably had no idea what the hell was going on. They're like, I guess we're taking a shower at 4 p.m. I don't know. These people telling us.
Oh, man.
Oh, but that's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, but anything like real crazy on your neck of the woods, man?
I mean, I had a little bit of a week. Let's see, just to run it down really quick.
Yeah.
Saw Doctor Strange. I would recommend that movie. I don't know anything Marvel Mystic, but this is a good base of just being introduced to all that stuff. Yeah, definitely would recommend Doctor Strange. Let's see, what else did I do? What else did I do? I hate, this is what I hate about doing a podcast. I have all these things lined up, or I know that I have like things to say, but when we come to talk and record, I
Yeah.
literally forget everything that I either
Right.
try to say or know what I'm trying, or just I forget everything. My mind blacks out. But anyways, saw Doctor Strange. I finished One Punch Man,
Ooh.
and that was like on the back burner for a good while. I missed like two episodes, and I finished the first season. Great, great anime series. You should definitely watch that. Let's see, anything else? I started Crunchyroll, and yeah, I always thought that you needed the premium service to watch the anime. I find out that you don't. It's all free, except if you want to have premium, they have no commercials and ads, and watch day-to-day anime, then
Yeah.
you go premium. What else did I do? What else did I do? I know there's other stuff, and now it's just drawn a blank. I think that's pretty much. I you know what? Yeah, I think I'm gonna call it there. I think that's it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just watching stuff. Yeah, pretty much
Heck
it.
yeah. Yeah, just
Yeah.
same
Oh,
old, same old. Yep.
and then we were watching Doctor Strange. We were behind a bunch of like rowdy kids, and they were ruining the movie because they were just straight up talking and being on their phones and like shuffling behind the seats and then hitting our
Oh,
seats. And I was
yeah.
like, dude.
Yeah.
So
They just
we
gotta.
had to tell them to keep quiet, and we had to be old men in the movie
Right.
theater.
You rascals, keep it down.
Yeah, right. Jumping Jehoshaphats.
Yeah. What in tarnation?
Right.
Turn around.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much been my week. Like I said, I know there's more, but I'm just straight up forgetting.
Now I'm trying to think back at like terrible movie theater experiences. I think, well, to be fair, like we have an awesome like dollar theater here in the city. We have two main theaters that have like 16 screens each and like IMAX and whatever, or like 3D screens and all that. But like we like to go to the dollar theater because nobody goes to the dollar theater.
Well, there
So
you go,
you have
though.
this
It's awesome
massive
that you have a
room.
dollar theater. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a massive room. All to yourself. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a way better experience. Like, back in the day, you know, fiance and I used to, you know, like back when we were both younger, we would always do the midnight showings for stuff. And I know there's Facebook pictures of me and
Yeah.
my buddy Peyton. We stayed 13 hours outside for Star Wars Episode 3. I'm too
Yeah.
old for that shit now. Like, hell no. Like,
Yeah.
I will wait for that to be on Netflix. Like, I'm fine.
Exactly.
I don't want to deal with people. Like, I don't
Yeah.
even want to hear what you got to say. I don't want to,
Yeah,
like.
we tend to go to the theater that nobody goes to. Like you
Yeah.
tend to go to
Yeah.
the theater that nobody goes to, because yeah, to watch your movies, or we're like, we'll wait a week,
Yes.
because
We
unless
would
it's something I really,
rather.
really want to watch, then
Yeah. Right. We would rather go to a theater to watch a movie we both don't have any interest in.
there
Then go to the
you
movie that both of us really want to see just because
yeah.
people are shitty. Like,
Yeah.
that's just the reality of it now. It's like nobody knows any manners and nobody, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
Just, I'm gonna put people in headlocks. Like, that's why I want to be built like Goldberg. That way, if people are talking in a movie, I'll like spear them out of their
Spear them
shoes,
twice and then do a
do a
jackhammer and then call
jackhammer.
it
Yeah, a minute and 45 seconds, it'll be done.
a day.
The preview won't even be over yet. Like, that's how quick it'll
There you
happen.
go. Yeah.
Oh, what was really great though is this is kind of on that same note. WWE put out an advertisement for the WWE Network, and then did a deal like, see what everybody's talking about, and then it showed three pictures of the Brock Lesnar Goldberg match. One picture was of the first spear, one picture was of the second spear, and one picture and was of the jackhammer. But the commercial itself was 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Longer so than the match.
Yeah, than the fucking match. Can you imagine being that guy that was like, I gotta see this. And then you turn it on.
Like, what
you spend $9.99 to see a minute, 45 minute match?
Yeah.
Or a minute, 45 second match? Like,
that's
what?
Funny.
Like, they're trying to sell it as longer than what it was. Oh,
yeah.
So funny. Oh, but I think that'll wrap it up for the old Thanksgiving turducken Pilgrims versus Indian
Pilgrim.
Like,
but before we close off, I actually do have my recommendations for the week.
Ooh, yeah, recommendation time.
So I was trying to think, what should I recommend Wes for this week? It's Thanksgiving week, so I'm not expecting him to either watch an episode or read or whatever, but there's three choices that you can go with.
Ooh, right? Okay.
So it's very much a choose your own adventure.
So here. Do I choose it now, like on air, or do I just come back and surprise everybody with what I picked?
How about you lean, maybe you'll lean towards an answer, okay, and then if you decide to swerve us, then you tell us, like, oh, no, I end up watching this.
I got you.
So, choice number one.
Okay.
Let's see. So, choice number one. Oh, actually, let me ask you. Did you ever watch One Punch Man in first season?
I have not.
Okay. Okay. You can go with that. It's okay. 12 episodes for the first season.
Okay.
30 minute episodes. They are not on Crunchyroll because I did look. I did check. This is probably like the best new coming anime that I've seen. I want to say this year, right? Mm-hmm. So, other than Tiger Mask W, but like before Tiger Mask W came on, this was the new hotness, right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
So just to talk about the premise, there's this guy that couldn't stand like all these bad guys and evil creatures and all that stuff bullying the city. Or cities, because there's different cities. And so this guy decides he wants to be a hero just for fun, just for fun, or just to be a hero. So like we've made some jokes about One Punch Man, but like this guy trains like 100 push-ups, 100, I think it was 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and then runs like 100 miles a day, 100 miles a day, or like 1 mile, 100, you know, for 100 days.
Right.
He does it so much that he actually becomes the strongest person in the world. So you kind of fast forward to, I guess, the kind of the results of his training.
Right.
So yeah. So now, like, again, creatures and bullies and all that stuff are trying to do bad in the world. So he takes out every single like bad guy with one punch. So you. Premise such, so that's the title of the story, One Punch Man. So you'll delve into the story. There's this one scene where I'll spoil like this one scene, where bad guy crashes into the main character's house, and he's doing like the whole evil banter, like, oh, haha, I'm so and so, and you know, I'm gonna destroy the world. And while he's doing this mid banter, the hero is like, does his one punch, and he's like, you broke my roof, right? and the guy's already dead or unconscious, and he's getting ready to punch him again. It's like, you need to pay for my roof, because that's all he cares about. So like, the hero is so, they're in this setting of like heroes versus bad guys, and there's a heroes association, and then you'll see all these cool looking characters, but like the hero, the main character, plays the role like so dry that it doesn't, it's like the Korean dry humor that we often talk about with Old Boy. So he kind of plays that type of role, and I would definitely recommend One Punch Man. That's one choice.
There's one choice.
Another one is Let's see. Another choice is Young Justice, which is on Netflix. There's two seasons. Like I said, I recommend the DC Juniors like animation show. It's not as like made for kids as you would think. But yeah, Junior's trying to live up to the predecessors and impress them and all that stuff, doing covert missions and there's actually like twists and turns that I wasn't expecting. So I would definitely would recommend Young Justice to you if you haven't watched that at all.
Okay.
And the third one is something that we can do at the start together. Is there's a Netflix reality show called Terrace House.
Terrace House.
So it's three Japanese men and three Japanese women all living in this house. Well, you know how Japanese shows have like the small bubbles of like celebrities or comedians doing like commentary. So kind of like they're doing like a let's watch. Yeah. So they're watching these three men and women live in this house, telling each other about their hopes and dreams. And you just basically see how they live in the city or in the world. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound too much, but you throw in the fact that it's a Japanese show and you have the whole social like politeness with the Japanese are. So like, you know how like in a relationship you would think that, holding hands would probably be like, it would take like a week to hold a person's hand that you really like, right?
Yeah.
From what I've been told, like this, the getting towards hand holding gets like 4 months in getting to know the person. So it's like it's the lewdness. It's like, oh man, I'm so sorry that I grabbed your hand, or I'm so sorry that I kissed you or something. They play it up the Japanese.
That's hilarious.
So we can do that together.
Oh, dude, that's great, because compare that to like Big Brother here, and it's like, someone throws like a baby off a roof or like some fucking craziness.
They too, they're already having sex with each other and like are already up in fist fights.
Day seven, you figure out half of the female cast is pregnant already. Yeah. And you're like, oh, Jesus.
Day 70 whenever there's like confrontations, you know, day two, they're up. Any reality show would just get into fist fights right away. Day two or like confrontation in Terrace House is like they're all sitting at a table, nobody's talking, and maybe the person that either did somebody wrong or whatever is like, what is this menacing feeling? you know how Japanese like, nani? What's going on? Yeah. So, yeah, we can do that. So you have your three choices. You can go One Punch Man, which is a good recommendation. Young Justice, if you want like a longer, you want to watch a good, you want to be fully in on a superhero animation, or reality show Japanese Terrace House on Netflix.
And that's three cuts from completely different cloths. Like that is, we could each... You know what I mean? Like, this is a different...
Yeah. We can go back and forth and, like, recaps on our weeks. Like, I watched this week, or I caught up on this, and
So, that's great.
Three choices there. And that's for everybody, everybody too.
Yes.
You can either watch One Punch Man, and if you want to throw some comments or whatnot to us on Twitter, watch One Punch Man. Young Justice, if you haven't seen it, because season three... is about to happen soon.
Yeah.
And Terrace House on Netflix.
Heck yeah, man. And that's great. Yeah, out there, everybody, pick which one you want to do. Let us know what you're doing in the comments or on Twitter. And speaking of Twitter, hit us up on Twitter. Twitter.com/comedahobo for myself, Wes Gardner. For Mr. Marco Flores, it is twitter.com/MarcoPolo177. I got to do a shout out for the new, the improved comedahobo.com.
Oh, there you go.
Dude, it's the show notes are there. Shows are posted immediately. This one's timestamped, so sorry, it's coming out on Thanksgiving. But so we're recording it on a few days before. So, but one's timestamped, but it's going to go live the moment Thanksgiving hits. But if you want to see just behind the scenes type stuff, see the official show notes, see any additional commentary as far as YouTube posts that we do or anything like that, it's going to be set up right up there. I'm still tweaking some stuff with it, but I feel better about it. It's the same old place, but it runs a little bit faster. It's a little bit better. Cool. I got some programming buddies of mine. We're working together on it, so it's good times.
Awesome, man.
Good times. But that is it for us. Oh, happy Turkey Day. Happy celebration. We made it.
Yeah, man.
The year's almost over, so it's like 2016 kind of sucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's just a weird year.
It's like it happened.
Yeah, it is one of those things. And I feel real guilty because my 2016, like personally, has been fantastic. Yeah. So the rest of the world had to suffer for me to have a good 2016. So I apologize to everybody, all of you out there. You guys learn like One Punch Man stuff and come punch me. So
there you go.
Or don't. God, if he's killing people. or please don't.
Okay. If you decide to just check out the opening song of or opening intro of One Punch Man, that might hook you.
That I'm might just be saying, the thing.
It might be the thing because it's a pretty good song. It's a pretty good song.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Yeah. But yeah, we'll know which one I pick for next week. But guys, have a very safe, happy holidays. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving with your loved ones.
Yeah.
By yourself. I hope you're just gorging on yummy food, listening to fun podcasts, but taking it easy one way or another. But just, I guess most importantly for Marco and myself, just keep brothering around, man. Just keep being a good brother. Be a good brother for Thanksgiving. That's a gift for everybody.